Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Maybe do this with your hair.
On this side?
That side. You have a small gap.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, which I know you don't like.
I don't like the little gap.
It was
gap.
Just like the way a curl was sitting.
Yeah. I know, like that is something else that I do have to keep in mind now, is that the curls make the layout a little different.
Yeah, you got to make sure your gaps are covered. You got a great haircut, too.
Thank you. Yeah, the mullet's gone. I was kind of sad about it, but it's going, you know? So, and I think I'm moving towards a buzz cut eventually. So yeah. I can't go all the way bald right away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's got to be a slow transition.
It's
got to
be a slow transition.
Yeah, if people don't recognize you in the podcast thumbnail, no one's going to click.
No one's going to click, right? If we go to Atlanta and I got a bald head, no one's gonna say hello whatsoever.
No, I'm gonna have to start putting the mullet hair on you in the thumbnail so people click.
Honestly, this is kind of a drastic no. I should have gotten a couple of wigs that were smaller and smaller mullets that I could have worn
do
every
you
week.
Wear wigs? Will you wear wigs? Have you worn wigs?
I'm not prepared.
It's so funny.
What are we talking about? Okay, we're talking about stuff today. We're talking about the rats. Okay.
Yeah, talk about Dragon Shield first though.
Oh yeah, I'll do the thing. This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code play to win 5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan. This week we are talking about board wipes in CEDH, roughly. Wraths? What's the colloquial term? There's a couple. A spell that gets rid of all of the stuff.
I always called them wraths.
Wraths.
But they are board wipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to call them by mechanically what they are, it's a board wipe. If you want to refer to a card when you're talking about what these cards do, you would talk about a wrath.
Right. Wrath, because Wrath of God, I think, is the original one where these are from. 4 mana, white, colors, destroy, bury all creatures, which means they can't be regenerated. I think that's what Wrath of God does. But that's where the term wrath comes from, right?
That is correct. Yeah, it was the original one from Alpha that did that. Actually, the original one said all creatures in play are destroyed and cannot be regenerated.
Oh, really? The original, and then they brought, was, oh, so I didn't know that. Is
it
Bury was brought in?
Printings. Yeah, Buried was brought in. What set is this? In Revised Edition.
Dude, what the fuck
that
do
they
I know?
Put all creatures are buried. And
I also don't know which unset the right lands come from. I don't know if you got a chance to look at any. I was like, I didn't know that. I wasn't being that specific about first. I don't know.
Well, I also don't know how Roaming Throne and the backside of a tally works.
Is
either.
It not? It doesn't
it's
work like that.
It's not 22. So if they take 7 a tally damage, it's 2 triggers of 7 to give them 14.
Oh.
But if they only take 4, it's 2 triggers of 4, leaving them at 8.
But if the tally's flip side is like a 10-10 or 11-11.
It's an 11-11, yeah, so they still have to block.
What does the backside of a tally say? Whenever they're dealt damage, they get 10 poison counters? I think this whole time, I don't know.
Atali Primal Sickness says, whenever Atali deals combat damage to a player, they get that many poison counters.
And it's an 11-11?
It's an 11-11 with trample, yeah.
Okay.
So if you block with a 6 power creature, you're taking 5
over,
which means that you get 2 triggers of 5 with Roaming Thorn in play, which means you still die.
You would get 10, exactly.
Yeah. So I guess you have to have 7 toughness of blockers.
Sure.
So that they only take 4.
Okay.
And then you get 2 triggers of 4.
The more we learn, the more we live, the more we laugh.
The more we laugh, yeah. Luckily, when I took Clay out at Locals the other week, he only had a Spellskite to block with. So I still was able to take him out, and it was okay.
Phew. Board wipes. We're talking about them. Board wipes don't necessarily mean destroy all creatures. Nowadays, in fact, most of them for CDH don't say that at all. But what they do say is get rid of a lot of creatures.
Yeah, exactly. We want to get rid of as many creatures in play for the most cheap amount of cost.
Yeah.
What we'll find out is that we need more than destroy. Destroying a lot of times, and we need less than 4 mana.
Yeah.
That's just not going to be efficient
enough.
That's
how CDH works, is you have to be able to cast your spells for for like 2 or 3 mana.
And you're going to die to the creatures in play before you have the 4 mana to be able to cast these.
Now, realistically, preface, board wipes and wraths are not particularly common in CDH. They're not particularly good. At most, a deck will play 2. Realistically, 0 to 1, I feel like, is how many board wipes a deck will play. There's only a few options, and only some of them are even close. A few of them lately I've liked a little bit more, and we'll talk about those specifically. But overall, this is a card type that in casual is very impactful, but in CDH is not. And oftentimes the reason for that is getting rid of all the creatures is often not really what you want to do, because unless you can win the game right now, and sometimes that can be the case, and some board wipes are set up for you to allow to do that, if you just destroy all the creatures and pass a turn, somebody else who has been waiting for all of those creatures to be destroyed now has the ability to win. So you have to be very particular about only using the board wipe when you need to win the game or to stay alive.
And there are very fewer decks in CEDH now that need to stay alive for the long period, and that's normally where you are going to see these kind of wraths, or at least most of these wraths.
Right, and most of the time in CEDH, it's better to try to avoid the creatures than it is to deal with them, right? So rather than like, okay, I have my Lion's Eye Diamond Underworld Breach line folds to this Collector Oof, but rather than getting rid of the Collector Oof, I'm going to pivot and win with Thassa's Oracle Demonic Consultation instead. It's just easier for me to leave that Collector Oof in play. Maybe it'll stop somebody else, and then I can go with my different strategy plan over here. And I think that's just like a common plan strategy for CDH decks.
I think so too, yeah. So it really comes down to like what the metagame is like. Like maybe your metagame does have a lot of Collector Oof and Drannith Magistrate, and if you need to remove more than one creature in play at a time, these can be really good, but most of these operate at sorcery speed, which also make them a little bit tough to use too.
Should we start talking about some of them so we know which ones we're talking about?
Let's talk, yeah. And I want to keep in mind that each one of these cards I've seen in CEDH, at least relatively recently.
Yeah. When you first brought this idea to me, I said, what are they like? There's going to be 2 cards in the list? And you said, no, there's actually maybe 4 cards
there
on the list.
There might be 4, yeah.
It depends on how you look at it, it could
actually
be 5.
Well, Wrath of God was one of the cards on the list. There's like 8 or 9 cards that we have to talk
about,
actually.
Is Wrath of God one of the 8 or 9? Because Wrath of God's nowhere close.
It's not on one of the 8 or 9, but if we need it to be a top 10, we can include Wrath of God.
4 mana is far too much for an effect that does so little. Wrath of God is not going to be even on the list.
Honestly, there's even a big gap between Wrath of God and even like the first one that I'm going to talk about, which is Supreme Verdict.
Supreme Verdict is another one that's close, and I've thought about it. That uncounterability is huge.
Yeah, and you just have to add a blue pip instead of an extra colorless pip.
Right.
So it is a little expensive, but Temeshi decks actually play Supreme Verdict to really good use.
Yeah, when I played Shorokai, I liked it in Shorokai because I was on Polymorph, no creatures in the deck, so it was reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know that the current Azorius headlining deck Heliod is on it, because you really want Heliod to be in play,
right?
And even having like the ability to flash a wrath isn't good when you lose the ability to flash after that then.
Right, yes, yeah, you want to be able to flash.
You want to flash, yeah.
Supreme Verdict for me, I know I've even seen it in a Blue Farm list in the past. I think there is a better wrath that Blue Farm has access to that they play instead. That is kind of obvious, but Supreme Verdict does have a role. Uncounterable, destroy all creatures is something that no other card does for 4 mana, so it does have a thing. If I need this effect, I go to Supreme Verdict. Me personally, I'm not going to Supreme Verdict.
No, I'm not either, yeah. But
it's too pip intensive too. It's not even 4 mana. It's blue, white, white, so I can't even use like Sol Ring mana on it effectively. I can't even use, you know what I mean? Like I can't use my extra Jessica's Will mana on it or anything. Like, I have to use precious pips that I want to be using on counter spells and silence effects and shit like that on it instead.
But I would like to know for all of these wraths that as WotC continues to print towards creatures being more powerful than spells, this card type is going to be something that I want more. But that also fights with itself, because I also want to play the good creatures though too. So
I often find that it is better in card games on the whole in general, but probably just in video games in general, if the makers of that game are making a powerful thing, do the powerful thing. Don't try to stop the powerful thing.
Join them. Don't beat them.
Don't join them, don't beat them. They're structuring the game in a way so that this thing is good. Do that. Listen to them. They're telling you the good things.
They're feeding the good things to you.
Trying to stop the good things is almost like setting yourself up for failure. This is a little bit hyperbolic. There are situations where trying to beat the best thing is very valuable, of course. But overall, I would say it's better to just do the powerful thing than stop the powerful thing. You'll win more games that way.
Fully agree.
Supreme Verdict is a 1, maybe a 0.5, I guess, technically. I would give it
very
a 0.5.
Low. Yeah, 0.5. Very low. I think I would give it something like a 0.5 as well. Because even though it does have a home in Temeshi, Temeshi doesn't have a large home in CEDH, really.
I haven't seen Temeshi in a while, actually.
I saw it once post-ban, and it still ran Supreme Verdict.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, for any of those Temeshi pilots out there, I hope you're enjoying your Supreme Verdict and probably losing more games than you would like to be.
And your Winds of Abandon, if I'm being honest, too. Yeah.
Oh, are we going to talk about that? That's
the next one. Yeah, it's a Wrath.
That's a Plague Wind.
This is a nice Plague Wind because it also doubles as like a bad Path to Exile too.
And this is a card that I love in casual in bracket 3 and 4. It is literally wins the game. It's insane.
I get as
many lands as you want. You're dead. I'm attacking you for lethal right now. It doesn't matter, right? Like, so in Edgar, in styles that go wide, if big attack strategies, I think it's an awesome casual card.
But my biggest problem with these kind of cards that do both things is that on both sides of them, they're kind of bad. Like, there's better versions of them that exist in, like, both forms. And
I just remembered another card that we're going to talk about that I completely forgot about earlier. Sorry.
Yeah, dude, I know, right?
There's a couple of them, yeah. To me, I compare this one right away to Fire Covenant, a card that might be on your list that we haven't talked about yet. But, like, if you're going for this effect, the Plague Wind effect, I need all of your creatures destroyed, but I need my creatures still alive, which is, like, the role that this card is filling, right? So, like, Supreme Verdict is, like, I need it to be specifically uncounterable. That's what I'm looking for. Whereas this card, I need it specifically because I have a big board too. Fire Covenant is like just so much fucking better most of the time.
Because 6 mana is way too much for that. Sorcery speed. Like,
awful.
Fire Covenant does allow you to do this at instant speed, which is busted.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, the obvious difference is they're different colors. If you can't play Fire Covenant, maybe then you look to this. But it's just Fire Covenant is such a powerful card. So, like, Winds of Abandonment for CDH, I don't think it's actually very good. I don't even know that I've really seen it in, like, an actual CDH deck in the last year. I would probably give it lower than Supreme Verdict, to 0.3.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to give it a 0.3.5, actually, though.
But for Fire Covenant, which is a red, a black, and a generic.
0.5 is what it got.
0.3.5,
yeah.
Fire Covenant for a red, black, and a generic is an instant that says pay any amount of life, deal that amount of damage to any amount of creatures, more or less. What does it say exactly?
That is basically what it is. It says, as an additional cost to play Fire Covenant, pay X life, and then Fire Covenant deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures.
Important one to note about this one is you have to pay the life as part of the cost.
As part of the cost. So if it gets countered, you're still off that life.
Exactly, yeah. Or if someone deflecting swats it for what you're super fucked.
Oh,
because
gross.
Then not only do you have to pay that life, and they can deflecting swat all those targets to the right things.
But notably, it can't be lightning.
Redirect lightning?
Yeah, you can't redirect it. Lightning did if it has more than one target.
Right, the new Avatar card. Yeah, specifically, Avatar, that one can only redirect something with one target. So Fire Covenant is a card that when I first got into CDH, I was like, how is this card not more played? It's clearly so good. It's so powerful. But it also just like further proves the point of like, why board wipes are just not so great. 3 mana is still kind of a lot of mana, honestly. Like, it doesn't sound like it, but think about the 3 mana spells that you play in your deck. Rhystic Study, Wheel of Fortune, they're like the cards that you look for most of the time. You know what I mean? Like, they're the thing that makes your deck go.
Yeah.
Fire Covenant just keeps you alive.
I could use 3 mana on Necropotence, and if I used it on the Fire Covenant, I also lost the ability to draw 11 cards or something like that,
too. If I just spend 3 mana on Necropotence, then I'll draw a bounce spell to get rid of the one thing that I really care about, and then I'll find the other win condition I need to get around the other stuff.
So, like, this card has always been, like, kind of good, but it's always fought against what a lot of this color combination also wants to do. Like,
that's also true.
A lot of the decks would play both, but once you used Fire Covenant or Ad Nauseam, you kind of lost the ability to use the other one. So drawing the other one was just kind of a dead draw.
Yeah, so much of what Black-Red does is, like, pay life for advantage with Necropotence, Necrodominance, Bolas of Citadel, Ad Nauseam, all that stuff. And you fire off this one time and you make all of your goals way worse. 10 life on Fire Covenant is going to do a great thing, but then all of a sudden you're at 27 life and your Ad Nauseam doesn't seem quite as good.
And I also think that what we're going to have to keep in mind for the Black Wraths in particular is that they're all in competition with just Orcish Bowmaster being a better
value. Is Orcish Bowmaster a Wrath?
I didn't include it because, like, technically the combo is Orcish Bowmaster and Wheel of Fortune, and I just want, like, a Wrath
Wrath?
A lot of the times, Orcish Bowmaster acts as a slow Wrath. Over the course of the turn between Rhystic Studies, it slowly kind of gets rid of everything on the board sometimes.
Because we're also going to realize that not every Wrath that we talk about is going to get rid of every creature in play all the times, because some of them do have limitations, and Bowmaster kind of does have a limitation.
It does, yeah. It only gets rid of the small stuff at first unless there's a really big thing to trigger. But it is, I think, another reason why board wipes don't see more play in CDH realistically, is because the spot removal, like Bowmaster, spot removal can pull so much weight a lot of the time.
And still is able to 3-for-1 for you, and even more a lot of the time.
Right, yeah. So they do compete with that. But for Fire Covenant, this card's like a 1. I like it in... I don't know. I used to like it a lot. I like it in some decks sometimes.
But I couldn't tell you what deck I want to put it in right now.
But I like it more than Supreme Verdict, and I like it more than whatever the other card we talked about was.
Winds of Abandon. Winds of Abandon. That got a 0.3, 0.5.
Yeah, I like it more than both of those things. I would look to Fire Covenant sometimes. I would never really look to those other two.
Yeah, me too.
Should we talk about, I have a one in mind that we can talk about that is similar to Fire Covenant, and probably I think the biggest reason why Fire Covenant doesn't see play is Toxic Deluge.
I was going to save this one for towards the end, but I don't want to talk about one of the best ones.
You're right, but I also was thinking, do we want to talk about all the bad stuff for the first big chunk of the podcast?
That's what every single top 10 video you'll ever watch does. They talk about the bad ones and then work their way to the best ones so that the audience attention has completely deflated by the
right,
time you get to the end of the video.
While you're still watching, I feel like we should talk about the best board wipe
in CDH.
The best one.
But keep watching the video, though,
keep
afterwards.
Watching. We're talking about other stuff.
But yeah, Toxic Deluge is really the reason, because this is also... pay X life before you cast it, or as you cast it,
right,
as an additional cost, and then all creatures get -X/-X, which is great because it gets around hexproof and stuff that, you know, gets around targeting, it gets around deflecting spot,
gets around indestructible.
There's just so much upside to this. It's easier to cast as well. It's sorcery speed, but
that sucks, yeah. But oftentimes you're only paying 4-6 life with Toxic Deluge, and that's going to kill just about everything, right?
Yeah, because a lot of the decks that want this are decks that are just looking to stay alive and have commanders with asses that are huge, like Marnius, Tivit. I feel like a lot of those big commanders and Esper-based decks want this card.
Oh, yeah, it's so great when you can do it for just one life less than what your commander is, so you can keep your thing around, and it's and then acts kind of like as a plague wind. That's obviously so fucking powerful. Toxic Deluge, I think, is also great because I've seen it in some Grixis-y decks, Blue Farm and Rock'side things, as ways to, like, you can get it back from Breach afterwards to get rid of all the stuff that was giving you problems or things like that. It's a good way to, like, get some stuff in your graveyard. So I think this one is, like, the closest that we have. It being kind of easy to cast is also huge. It's not pip-pip. It's just generic mana and a black, which is really easy to cast. This is, I feel like, if you're looking for a board wipe in CDH, this is just the best one.
Yeah, if you're looking for a generic board wipe, I'll say, because I do think this is the second best card that we're going to talk about today.
Interesting, yeah.
I do have one that I would rank higher, but I would give Toxic Deluge a 4 out of 5.
I still think it's a 4. It doesn't see play in all CDH decks, but I do think that it's like a maybe 4 is too high.
I think that the decks that want it, like, really want it, and it's so good in those decks that you don't need another one, because you can just opt for this. Like,
you just tutor for this.
You just tutor for
all
it.
All of
then,
your
yes.
tutors are also Toxic
so you're
Deluge got, when you need
not,
them to be.
You don't need to play Force of Despair, technically, which is the next one that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give Toxic Deluge a 3.8. I'm not going to give it quite a 4, because I don't think it's quite a staple. I don't think it goes in every deck by far, but I do think it's the best thing at what it does.
That's fair. I don't think that 4s go in every deck, which is why I'm still going to give it a 4. But
okay, sure. I guess, 4s don't go in every deck.
Yeah.
But a 5 goes in... Well, I guess should we... I'm not going through the numbers again. 5 goes in literal every deck. 4 goes in every deck that has access to the colors for it.
Every deck that I feel like that's a 4.5.
That's
for
a 4.5
me.
For
yeah,
you.
A 4.5.
Okay. That's probably true.
And then a 4 is like every strategy that wants it.
Every strategy that, yeah, it's the best thing of what it does. I'm going to stand by 3.8, so it'll get a 3.9.
That's fair, because I think a 3.5 is 3 or 4 strategies that want it, which might actually be a little bit more accurate, as opposed to like, oh, there's an entire subsection or an entire grand section of the metagame that wants it, instead of like a smaller subsection.
And it's not a perfect system, because then that would also imply that a 3 is that it goes in kind of
what
just
are you talking
one deck.
About? It does. A 3 goes in one deck.
But Supreme Verdict goes in Temeshi, and we gave that a 0.5.
Yeah, but Temeshi doesn't go in CEDH, though.
There you
so
go.
That's why it got
that's
lower.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's
got
to be a good deck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then if it goes in one bad deck, that's a 2. If it goes in one really bad deck, it's a 1.
A 1.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, really, I don't mean to talk to as much shit on Tameshi.
No.
Should we talk about our next card?
Let's talk about Force of Despair. Okay. Yeah. This is in the same set of as Force of Negation.
Probably. Definitely.
So if it's not your turn, you can exile a black card from your hand rather than pay its mana cost, and you destroy all creatures that entered the battlefield this turn.
I view this card as kind of an underrated card. Realistically, it's just not that good. You know what I mean?
It's free, which is nice.
Free, which is nice.
It's almost ingenuous of me to add this on the Wraths section of a podcast, because you're only harming one person and you're probably only killing the Seedborn Muse that you cared about mostly that
realistically
entered the battlefield.
This is spot removal way more than it is destroy a bunch of creatures, right?
Fuck. Well, this isn't on the list.
Off
moving
the list.
Past
Move
it.
Damn.
I can't believe I put that last card on the list. All right, let's move on to our next card. Damn. I'm stuck in a time loop.
Damn.
This destroys target creature for 2 black, and it can't be regenerated, but you can overload it for 2 and 2 white.
This is close.
I've still seen some Malkuth-Timna decks on this, because I'm actually still looking into building Malkuth-Timna.
Are you going to play this card?
Let me build Malkuth-Timna first. I have 63 cards together for the past 5 days.
Yeah.
So I need to finish it first, but I don't think I'm going to put Damn in there.
I don't love Damn. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't love Damn. In theory, it thinks great. You think it in your head, and you go, oh, this feels great. But realistically, 2 mana, sorcery speed, destroy creature is so bad. You tell yourself that, like, that's fine. No, it's not. You would never play that card in CDH.
Sorcery.
It's a sorcery. It's two. It's pip. It's you would never. That's not good.
You would never play Damn as just the front side.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason why it's good is because it does both things kind
of
shitty.
But that's why I don't like Winds of Abandon though either. Same because thing. The one side is shitty and the other side is like.
No, this is.
This is also why, like, when the MDFCs are talked about all the time, like, don't just play MDFCs because they can do both things. If you never cast one of them, you're never, like, you just play a better land.
I agree. Yeah, you have to be able to want to do both sides for it to be good, realistically. And I think for sometimes, like Atali, the fact that you play the DLCs, I think Atali is happy to play those because you would want to do both of the things. They're both really good.
Yeah.
In Atali specifically, sometimes. And the downside is so minimal. Whereas the downside of Damn, I actually think is quite bad. This card can suck if it doesn't do anything in your hand. You need your removal to be instant speed for so many reasons. Damn doesn't do anything to, like, fuck up your opponents. It only helps you, realistically, if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't interact with your opponents really. Like, I know me saying that, like, it destroys all the creatures, interacts with them, but it doesn't. It doesn't stop them from winning the game. You know what I mean? Since it can't be at instant speed, it doesn't actually stop them from winning. It stops what their onboard interaction for you is. So, like, it helps you win the game, but, like, at a really not great rate, I think.
That's the thing. Especially in a color combination that has to play Timna in the command zone for the most part. And, like, really wants, like, their creatures to be in play. It's it's really hard to justify finding room for Damn,
and
I
the pip,
think.
Pip. That's hard. Like I said, precious pips. White, black, black. Now I can't cast Grand Abolisher afterwards because I have to use my white pips on this card.
Precious pips, the classic PP.
And it's it's classic PP stuff. And then also, of course, Toxic Deluge. You compare it to whatever the other best card is, and Toxic Deluge is just a lot better than this card in a lot of ways. So, to me, this is I got Fire Covenant a 1. I think this is worse than Fire Covenant, but only by a little. So I'll say 0.7 for me.
A 0.7.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. And we didn't rate Force of Despair, so I gave it a womp womp.
A womp womp. Yeah, that sounds good. I like womp womp for that one.
Dude, we are flying through these.
It'll be a quick week.
It'll be a quick week. Yeah. Well, I do have 2 other cards that I think we could talk about too that aren't Wraths that I think would just be fun to talk about and would be better to get out of shorts than talking about shitty Wraths too, yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Let's talk about Amphibian Downpour real quick.
This card's good in one deck.
Yeah, we...
This card's so really, really good in one deck.
So it's gonna get a three. So Amphibian Downpour is really good in Marnius because it has Flash and Storm, which means that every copy of it is a token copy of it. And you can turn each creature that you target with a copy of it into a 1-1 frog with no abilities, effectively removing them from the game.
Right. And what's notable about it is that it is separate instances of create a token.
Because
Marnius only triggers a draw off of every time you make a token.
So each Storm trigger is on the stack as a copy of the spell on the stack. One resolves, Marnius sees it resolves, draws you the card, and then you can continue to the next copy of it.
It is important to know that normally we shortcut how Storm works is just like there's 9 Flusterstorms targeting your thing, but that's not exactly how it works.
There's one Storm trigger that will account for 8 Flusterstorms.
Yes, yeah.
There's one Storm trigger that sees how many Storms there are, and then once the Storm trigger resolves, 8 other Flusterstorms go on the stack. Then. Yes.
So they do resolve one at a time, but it is Storm thing happens one time.
I gotta tell you, if you out there have never played or watched enough Magic Online content, one of the best ways to learn how the stack works, Magic Online in particular, really helps like the visualization of the stack.
Visualization. Not a visualization,
a visualization.
I like that.
I like how my brain works better too. For years of like watching people do like Legacy and Vintage Cube and like playing those formats on Magic Arena has just like helped my brain vision how that goes. And that one in particular, like the way that Storm works in particular, that's something that I can't recommend enough if you haven't done that before.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So yeah, that's why this card is good in Marnius. It's also like fine in other decks. It's also a 3-mana instant speed, get rid of the board kind of a lot of the times. It's a little Cyclonic Rift sort of, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
You just have to play it right. You have to be ready to capitalize on it when there's a big storm. You have to be ready to do it at maybe a weird moment. You got to be ready to talk to your opponents. You got to be willing for all these things, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, we've talked about this on the show before too, about how good of a political tool you can make this. You can show this to your opponents and go build up the storm count so that we can hit more things, and then you can hit their things, and then that way it gives you the opportunity to make your opponents tap out for when you go to untap.
For me though, this card doesn't go exactly in every deck. Sometimes it's like kind of dead, you know what I mean? Like you have to work for it. You have to make it go. As a top deck, it can be kind of bad, whereas Toxic Deluge can be an incredible top deck sometimes. So I still think it's a good card. I'm probably going to give it like a 3.3 because it goes in one really good deck and a couple of other okay decks. So I'm going to give Amphibian Downpour a 3.3.
All right, I'm going to give it a 3.1 so that we can give it a nice even 3.2.
Perfect.
Yeah, because I do think that there are reasons to play it in other decks.
Definitely.
But I think that I can make excuses for that to be the first cut that I would make to those decks a lot of the time, I think. Yeah. Let's talk about Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah, Cyclonic Rift, the king.
The king.
It's been the king.
Yeah.
And is not, honestly, realistically, not that great in CDH, but just the fact that it is a 2-mana bounce any non-land permanent, that rate, we don't have. We have Boomerang, which is blue-blue and can bounce a land, but Boomerang has no upside. Besides that, all of the other 2-mana bounce spells, they don't have quite the crazy upside that Cyclonic Rift does.
Yeah, like some of them might draw you a card if you set yourself back, right? Others of them are 1-mana but can only bounce creatures. Like the fact that this interacts with every single non-Gaia's Cradle permanent that you care about on the board is so helpful. And there are so many stalled board states in mid-range hell where you can just go boing to the whole table and go, now I would like to win either through combat damage or now like the things that you had in play that were going to gain you advantage on my storm turn. Now I won't trigger Mystic Remora as I go off.
I do think it's important for if you're playing Cyclonic Rift in CDH that you have to be able to make 7-mana kind of consistently.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You have to be playing Kinnan or
VV.
Rog-Sai. Rog-Thras, specifically Rog-Thras, not Rog-Sai, because, like, I don't play Cyclonic Rift in Rog-Sai. In a Grixis deck that, like, in that deck with Snap, I think is much better, because Snap can sometimes be free, or sometimes it can even net me a mana if an Ancient Tomb is involved or something like that. Whereas a Cyclonic Rift, having 7 mana for Cyclonic Rift, normally I need the 7 mana to win the game. I need that mana to win it right now. You know what I mean?
But for those decks that can play Cyclonic Rift, it's nice that you can have a Regeki for the whole board and then not have to worry about, like, losing your creatures to your own Toxic Deluge. And you had the ability to do this at instant speed.
That's
to also fuck up your opponent's boards, too.
It can interact with your opponents. It can stop their win condition. They tap the Kiki Jiki. In response, you say, Cyclonic Rift, them all back to your hand, or whatever. It can do any of that. And the fact that it is so flexible, it can be just 2 mana, but if you need it to be, it can be 7 mana. Now, weirdly, I have found that oftentimes, the 7 mana Cyclonic Rift can almost be a little bit of a trap. I would much rather, in many situations when I have 7 mana, spend 2 mana on Cyclonic Rift and then leave up my other 5 mana for an Offer You Can't Refuse and a Thrasios activation to help me look for more interaction to protect the Cyclonic Rift.
That makes sense.
In my personal situation, there's been more situations where, like, realistically, I just need the one thing gone. It would be nice, I guess, if everything else was gone, but, like, I can get away with just the one thing going and I can win the game then. And if I do it with just for 2 mana, I can hold up my other mana to protect it. And then sometimes I'll just get away with the 7 mana, and then someone has a counterspell. I'm looking at a counterspell in my hand that I don't have the mana for anymore, feeling like I could kick myself. So
I'm going to feel so hypocritical saying this, but I like having the ability to interact with someone while also having, like, the failsafe of the 7 mana Wrath, even though I didn't like it for Damn or Winds of Abandon, because, again, like you said, this is just a rate that we don't have, whereas for Winds of Abandon, we have Swords to Plowshares and Path to Exile.
The top rate is really what was still worth it.
Exactly. The top rate is still worth it while also being able to be, like, this super get out of jail free card. Right. Late in the game, if you really need it to be.
And it is important to note that Into the Flood mod does change that philosophy a little bit.
That is true.
Now there's Chain of Vapor and Into the Flood mod that both get rid of any non-land permanents for less mana than Cyclonic Rift.
That's true. But with Chain of Vapor, though, too, there's also still downside that a lot of decks don't want it. So if you want your second bounce spell, Cyclonic Rift is still, like, the next best thing.
Exactly. For a long time, that was the case. But Into the Flood mod kind of changes that math now.
That is true.
Now, if you just need a non Chain of Vapor bounce spell, one that you're not afraid that your opponents are going to send back at you, Into the Flood mod can cover that.
You should just do that instead. Yeah,
right? So
you realistically aren't going to get to the 7 mana, you have Into the Flood mod.
Right, so if your deck is built to get to 7 mana, which, like, any of the Thrasios decks, Kinnan decks, any of the big green decks, the Gaia's Cradle decks, Sissei, any of those decks, I think it's a great call for. But if you're not, I think Into the Flood mod is much better. 1 mana to do the effect is crazy. You don't realize how much cheaper 1 mana is than 2 mana. It's 100% cheaper. Is that right? It's way cheaper. It's much, much, much less. 1 mana is so much less than 2 mana. It feels like it's just 1 mana less, but it's more than that. It's the entire amount less. So yeah, Into the Flood Mod is great, but we're not talking about Into the Flood Mod. We're talking about Wraths. Is Cyclonic Rift better than Toxic Deluge?
For sure it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's for sure for me, but I think I agree that it's better.
I think more decks want Cyclonic Rift. Cyclonic Rift has way more flexibility. Than Toxic Deluge has.
Cyclonic
Rift is never targeting your things because it can't, which is kind of nice. Even if it gets deflecting swatted, it can't target one of your own things. It still has to fuck up your opponent. And when you do get to overload it, someone discards 5 cards, and that's a lot of advantage for you too.
Especially like that if you have a Rhystic Study in play and you bounce all their things in a way that you're not going next, and they're going to play all their stuff again, and you're going to draw so many cards with Rhystic Study.
And then even if someone else has a turn, they don't have the mana now to deploy everything.
Right, and you do because you did it at a time that made sense for you. You have Valley Floodcaller out now, so now you can win the game over top or whatever. Very flexible. It's a very flexible card.
I give it a 4.5 because it's not going to go in every blue deck, but I think that there's a lot of blue decks that can really take advantage of it better than any of these other cards.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, for Cyclonic Rift, I feel like I start with it in most decks and I have to have a reason to take it out, right? And sometimes that reason is there, but I have to have a reason. I have to go, I'm not really going to get 7 mana. Maybe I'll cut this, right? Whereas Toxic Deluge, I start with it out, and then I have to find a reason to put it in. I go, yikes, if there's a couple of stacks pieces, I'm cooked. I fucking need something, right? Then you find a reason to put it in. So I think I'm with you. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I'll just agree with you. It's a solid, great CDH card. 4.5 Cyclonic Rift.
That's great. All right, well, let's go through the list before we talk about 2 other cards that I want to talk about.
Say something again?
I'm giving up on you.
Cool.
We've been recording.
Okay, yeah, let's do the list from top to the bottom. No, from bottom to top.
From top to bottom.
from bottom to top. We have one more to talk about. Oh, my God.
We have another one?
Stupid, Cameron. Yeah, we have another one. Did you also forget that delayed blast fireballs in the format?
Oh, sure. That counts.
I forgot about
Pyroclasm?
That one,
we used to play Pyroclasm?
Dude, yeah, I know, right?
Interesting. Yeah, delayed blast fireball.
Yeah, if you're going to play an Anger of the Gods of some kind.
This is the one.
This is the one, because this is instant speed. Again, this is kind of a Regeki, because it can't hit your stuff. It only hits your opponents. And
when we say Regeki, that's from Yu-Gi-Oh! Which there is a card that says Regeki, destroy all your opponent's
it's
monsters.
It's on screen,
it's
too.
On the screen.
Yeah.
Plague Wind is what Magic players have that we will call this effect.
That's
because
so
it
much
was the first
less
one.
Cool than calling saying Regeki, though.
That's true. Regeki, Plague Wind. Less syllables on Plague Wind, though. So Plague Wind was terrible. Regeki was really good.
That's also true. Yeah, because Regeki was free.
It was free. Because there's no mana in Yu-Gi-Oh! Somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What does the Delayed Blast Fireball do?
2 damage to each opponent and each creature they control. But if you cast it from exile, it's 5 damage instead.
Yeah, so if they necro really low and you can shock them.
Gotcha.
Pretty
yeah
good.
Flip into it off a Tali, and then that way you can like super wrath.
Do we what is the thing that it's gimmick, what does it do?
Foretell.
So
you, on your turn, you have to put 2 mana aside to foretell this
generic
into your foretell
mana
zone. Yep.
And you foretell at sorcery speed,
and then on a later turn,
not the same turn,
you spend 4 and 2 red for the 5 damage.
Right.
So it's effectively 8 mana to do that.
Notable, it says cast from exile, you do the 5 thing, right?
Yes.
So if you flip it off of a Tali, if you get it with
Jeskha's Will or something,
Jeskha's Will, you can cast it for just 3 mana, and then it still does 5 damage. That's awesome.
Kind of like it in Obnixilis for that reason. Like, I don't know if that deck wants a big Regeki like that, but this seems like the one that I would want.
This is definitely one where you need like a really good reason to play it. It's got to really click with your deck. Before I gave up on Blood Pod, I was playing this card and I actually liked it quite a lot. If you want to like control the board, I think this is a great card to do it.
That's the thing. I feel like a lot of the red decks just don't want to control the board.
They don't want to control the board.
Like, yeah.
If your goal is to control the board in CDH, having this in your arsenal, I think is a great tool. That strategy of trying to control the board, I don't think is a great strategy right now. It's just too hard to do. There's too many things.
My problem with this is that this goes in the decks that does like want to put things in exile, and those decks hate to see Dranith Magistrate.
Yeah.
But this card doesn't get rid of Dranith Magistrate, and the only way that it could is in a way that Dranith Magistrate prevents you from casting it.
Right, yeah.
So it's like so frustrating at the same time.
Had this done 3 mana and like also have been like too generic and a red, we'd be talking about a real card. If you know what I mean? If this was different, it'd be something else. Of course.
Yeah.
Who cares, right?
But like, this cycle always has to be 1 and 2 red because it's a slag storm. It's an Anger of the Gods.
Yeah.
It's one of these 3 mana wraths that has to have some kind of an upside in some kind of a way.
Slagstorms and Pyroclasms are of a different, they're a different thing, right?
Yeah, but there's also Volcanic Fallout, which is a 3 mana 2 damage wrath.
And there's Electricery, which is like a 2 mana 1 damage to each of your opponents, and there's like things like that.
Yeah, and then there's also
the Wolf one, that's a 1 mana version of 1 damage to all of your opponents.
Yeah,
things.
And the Festivities.
And the Festivities.
Yeah.
I don't know what this effect is called. What was the original? I call them like
they're pyroclasms.
I call them pyroclasms.
Because I think pyroclasm was the original.
Anger of the Gods to me is a pyroclasm. It's just a thick pyroclasm.
See, I have angers as a separate category.
Exile.
Because angers, no, as a 3 mana 3 damage. Like 2 mana 2 damage is its own thing. But like, even now, we get stuff like Brotherhood's End, which is also like a 3 mana 3 damage with another rider on it, too.
We do get more of that effect than 2 mana 2 damage
at
type
this point
things,
now,
right?
Yeah. I feel like almost every standard has to have a 3 mana Red Wrath that doesn't get rid of everything, but has some kind of like a Mizzium Mortars. I thought about Mizzium Mortars for this, too, but Mizzium Mortars doesn't see play.
Oh, yeah. Mizzium Mortars, I love that card.
Such a gnarly card.
So card
in
casual in my Tovlar Werewolf deck. Holy shit.
It's literally Winds of Abandon.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, but in CDH, that 6 mana, that red, that's too much.
Yeah, it's a little too much, yeah. So Delayed Blast Fireball, what do we give that?
Unfortunately, I like this card about as much as Fire Covenant, so I'm going to give it the same. I'm going to say it's a 1.
I'm going to give it a 1...
as well.
A 1 and a frowny face.
A 1 and a frowny face, okay.
So that way, I know that I like it a little bit less than Fire Covenant.
I think that sounds right.
Good. All right. So would you like to go through our list then, Dylan?
I would love to. Let's hear it.
So the worst wrath that we talked about today is Force of Despair.
Not a wrath.
At
really.
A womp womp.
At a womp womp.
Yeah. I guess, you're right. That's not a wrath. So the worst wrath that we talked about today, Winds of Abandon.
That sounds right.
Coming in at a 0.3.5.
Excellent. I'm glad we spent time on it.
Me too. Our next worst wrath was Supreme Verdict.
Yeah.
That came in at a 0.5.
You can pitch just went to Force of Will. We didn't say that.
You know what? This should come in at a 0.6, actually. Yeah, we'll
bump it up for that.
But still worse than Damn, which came in at a 0.7.
We're getting to almost a reasonable card now.
We're getting to, for casual, yes. Our first one is Delayed Blast Fireball, which got the one in the frowny face, followed by the Fire Covenant one, which also got a one. And then that's followed by some okay cards now. We got Amphibian Downpour as a 3.2, got a major spike in the ratings. That's followed by Toxic Deluge, that got a 3.9. And then our best Wrath was a Cyclonic Rift,
right,
that got a 4.5.
What would a Wrath have to look like for you to give it a 5 out of 5?
It would have to be colorless and 3 mana and destroy your opponent's things and not yours.
Okay. 3 mana, destroy your opponent's
maybe
things.
Maybe colorless and 4 mana.
Yeah.
Like if it had the One Ring's cost, if you cast it when it entered the battlefield, if you cast it, destroy all creatures your opponent's control.
I don't even know if that would be great. Realistically, would that be good, 4 mana, to do that effect though?
No, it would be bad.
It would be bad. What would it have to be for it to be a 5 out of 5, an all-star?
Oh, then it'd have to be the 3 mana one,
but,
yeah.
But even 3 mana, I don't even know if 3 mana colorless would be. I think it would have to be 2 mana. You could give it a color. It could be like white and black. White, black. Instant, destroy all creatures. Even that, like that made up card that sounds so insanely broken, I don't even know if I would play that in CDH.
I would play it if it was destroy all creatures and each opponent discards their hand.
What if it was white, black, destroy all creatures my opponent's control for an instant? That would be a good CDH card.
White,
that would
black be, for an instant? Yeah, that would be really good.
That would
good.
Be like a good CDH card. Not the best thing to do, but like really good.
That's way better than any spot removal card. Like any two mana, like I would have to think about that like Assassin's Trophy.
It's unprintable. That card is unprintable.
It's
too good for too many other formats. It wouldn't work. But I'm just saying like in a magical world where they're building just for CDH, how good would the Wrath have to be for it to be like an actually playable card? I think that's where it would have to sit. Maybe if it was like, if Toxic Deluge was instant speed, maybe that would also be good enough.
That would be way better. Yeah, I
right?
would consider that, would that like a 4.5 to 5 range.
Closer
I think.
To a real card, but like,
but it still like destroys your stuff. So like, there's still going to be a lot of strategies that are like, I don't care about removal.
It would have to, so what if it was plague? If it was 3 mana, instant speed, 2 generic and a black, -1 counters to your opponent's things for life that you spend.
No, you know what it has to be? It can't be a Wrath. It has to be something like Cyclonic Rift that already... I should talk into the mic. It can't be a Wrath. It has to be something like Cyclonic Rift that acts as something else that we want in CEDH. So, like, it would have to be a 2-mana Rhystic Study that also can sacrifice to destroy all creatures at some point. Like, Kainun, but instead of it being a...
What if it was this? What if it was black-black? Each opponent discards 2 cards at random, or... destroy all creatures your opponents control. Now we're just making up fantasy cards that are never...
Well, that's what we've been doing for the past 5 minutes, is making up fantasy cards, yeah.
This
for the Always Sunny in Philadelphia set that we do, that's what Frank Reynolds is going to do, yeah.
The card type is just not a
Why
good
don't
card
we keep Yeah, let's keep making up shit.
Anything else you want to talk about? You have other shit?
No, let's save those other two cards that I want to talk about for another time, yeah. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about?
I just made a bunch of swaps to Rog'Sai.
Yeah, you did?
I did.
You did, yeah. You told me about this.
Got the keys. Keys are gone.
We're down with the keys. Yeah, tell me. Your thought process.
I copied Dexter's list from the 20K, I think. Dexter, shout out. I took your list. I took out.
If you want it back, you gotta call us.
It was like 9 cards off for what I currently had, but it was all cards that have been in my list in the past 6 months, so none of them felt like crazy to me. They were just like good cards.
Okay, this is just like kind of going back on some of the tech.
Yeah, just coming back on like Demonic Council and the Chromatic Star, whatever. I forget which one.
Yeah, you were on that before.
I tried that
before.
I think it's actually really good. It makes Jessica's Will really good. It turns some of like the extra mana. It does like the thing that I want in Offer You Can't Refuse to do a little bit.
Oh, let's just do the extra blue pip when you need it.
It filters the extra mana. It turns your top deck tutors into demonic tutors.
I kind of like that too, like especially
it's
when
like
you
little
have
glue.
Necro in play. Like I kind of like having that and Vampiric Tutor as like a combo
Bingo.
For that.
Yeah, exactly. So put that in. Besides that, nothing huge. Like Snap is back in. Deadly Rollick is out. That one's gone.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, what do you need that to take
but
out?
But overall, I think I'm happy with the list. The keys are cool. I like the keys. I was looking at like the lists that have done well in Rock'Sai over the past few months of the summer, and none of them have done like keys.
Yeah, I feel like the keys are kind of something that only a few decks can do, like the really dedicated artifact decks can do, and it's one of those things that like I've had this problem with the Tali where I really want to put things in that like green can do to make me a ton of mana, but like there's certain decks that are just more synergistic with some of those things that just make it more powerful when if you're not going to have access to keys and mana for the keys or keys and cards for the keys all of the time,
you're going to have really weird hands where you have the keys and they can't do anything. And like, even the one ring in Atali, like, as much as it would be cool to play Tezzeret and then go get the keys, and then like Tezzeret plus key plus mana vault and then two lands is like enough to basically have Atali for turn two really easily. But at the same time, like, how good is that? At the same time, like, it's not very synergistic. There's going to be hands where I have Tezzeret without mana vault and that's clunky. There's hands where you get the keys and like don't have like the Grim Monolith to make it work.
A lot of times I feel like what's really important is how bad can the cards be? You know what I mean? Like, that's what really what we should be looking for. How good can they be? Any card can be good. Who cares? You know what I mean? But like, how bad can they be? Because like, sometimes the keys can be bad. Yeah. They could be nothing.
I almost want to know like what the most middle of the road a card's going to be when I'm evaluating it for CEDH, because a lot of times people just tell me how good a card is when they tell me how good
a Planeswalker's Ultimate does.
I don't care about even like a lot of CEDH Commander. Well, I could do this if I have this. Well, like, yeah, that's great. Like,
but what's it going to look
like?
I
could
when
be
it
a billionaire
wrong?
If I shit gold. Like, at the same right, like, there's a lot of meta. I can make up a lot of things that could be good. A lot of circumstances where cards could be good. But if those circumstances don't happen to me and I don't have the mana to enact them, like, what's the point of theorizing about something potentially being good? I'd rather know what on average is it going to do for me, or what is it going to do be in the worst case scenario, so that I know, is this something I can actually play?
You know something, this word, I've been paying attention to VGC a little bit more, so have you. We've been talking about Pokemon a little bit. Wolf Glick, whatever.
Yeah, he's very popular. He's the greatest Pokemon VGC player of all time.
He was saying something about like how when he is trying to play a game, what he's trying to do is like avoid the worst thing possible. I may be misunderstanding a little bit of what he was saying, but it seemed like he was saying he wasn't trying to look for the best possible option. He was looking to try to find, what's the worst option? How do I avoid what could go wrong? You know what I mean? That's what he was like looking to find, and I think that's like kind of what we're talking about here, is like, what's the worst thing that could happen with the card if I play it? If the worst thing is bad, I don't want to play it. I want a card where the floor is pretty high.
I want to know, how does this card lose me the game?
Right. Yeah.
And if it loses me the game because I mess up, that's okay, because that's something that like
you
I can
learn
fix
and get better at.
Exactly. Yeah. But if it loses me the game because every opening hand that I see it in, it's not good, like, that's something that I feel like I can learn from. And I feel like that is something that's a great thing to take from VGC there, is like, how am I going
harm
to
reduction.
Lose, and can I? How do I play around
how
losing?
Because how do I lose? I'm thinking about like what my opponent can do, which is very helpful, because I feel like in Magic sometimes we forget to do that. We forget to think about what my opponent's going to do, and especially in CDH, you see, look what's in front of me, look what I can do, but you forget like what are my opponents trying to do right now?
You know,
like,
what's so funny is that VGC's all mind games too.
All
it's
mind
like
games.
Trying to get your opponent to think that you're playing at level one, and then they play at level two so that you can play at level three, and like outmaneuver their attempt to outmaneuver you.
And VGC, you can't even begin to formulate a strategy or like make a decision unless you are thinking about what your opponents are going to do. It wouldn't make any sense. The only reason that you would make any decision, at least from what I've seen, I know nothing. You know what I mean? VGC's Pokemon, whatever. But
we're
like,
still new.
But like, that's what it seems like. If you don't have an idea of what your opponent's going to do, your moves are going to make no sense. They have to purposefully be good against what you think your opponent's going to do.
So if all you're going to do is the setup that your opponents expect, they're going to be able
to wipe the floor with you.
Exactly. They go, okay, I'll fake out. Now you can't decorate. And now I can just wipe out your one mon. You don't have the power to start taking me out.
And like, I think that's important for like CDH, is to think about like, what do my opponents want to do right now? Does it look like my opponent wants to counter a spell? Maybe I go for a Mystic Remora instead of a Necropotence. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, and,
like,
and we have the luxury of CEDH that microphones are on or we're in person. Like, we get to hear them talk. Like in VGC, if you're playing in person, you look up and then they're staring down at their Switch or something, right?
Right,
or you're
yeah.
playing against someone online and you never get to see the expression on their face. Like, it's the greatest poker situation ever.
Right,
but
it's important to use that, though. If you see your opponent's making a face or something, like, have an idea of what
like,
they're thinking about
kinda,
doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the changes to Rock'Sai, I haven't played a ton, but I've played three games. One of the game, it was actually like an awesome game, and I ended up like having to go for a Tainted Pact line after my opponents had like a bunch of interaction, and I ended up like passing Thoracle before I hit the Underworld Breach, and it was like I needed to like not hit Praetor's Grasp and Mnemonic Betrayal and Thassa's Oracle before I hit Breach, and I didn't, and I lost the game because of that reason. The next game I played, I lost to like a turn three perfect blue farm start where they had like turn one bunch of mana, turn two Voice of Victory and Timna, and then turn three they just drew like two tutors and like set up Underworld Breach.
Classic
like
Voice of Victory play.
Yeah, I had
right
like moved to like five or something that game, and then the other other game I ended up winning. And like, it's crazy. This Rockside version, I am playing 22 lands currently. And like, it felt fine. Like I just, a lot of the time, like when I was going, I don't want to see the lands. You know what I mean? I just want to see the one really. And then like the goal, it feels like to me is like you have a draw engine and play on turn one and the draw engine finds you the second land.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm on 22 lands in Rockside right now. And honestly, so far it feels good.
I feel that. I saw Ken Bauman's VV list is on like 22 lands too. Yeah. I think 23 with MDFCs.
And VV makes the mana. Who cares?
Yeah. Now I'm kind of like, I think 26 with MDFCs might be too much. I might need to trim.
Realistically, what's important is mana sources more so than lands. Yeah. Lands is a way that you can accidentally make sure that you have a reasonable mana base, but it doesn't need to be all lands. And in fact, a lot of the times you want it to not be lands because you want them to be spells that can trigger VV, and the VV makes you mana, which is lands. So it makes sense.
That's fair.
Anything else? What about you? You make any changes to decks?
No, I'm trying to put this this Timna Malcolm deck together, and it's going along very slowly. I've still just been very happy with where Atali's at. We've talked a lot about Atali, so I don't want to go into a ton of that. And Vivi, I have a couple of ideas about what I want to do with Vivi. I think I still want to keep Vivi together, and I think I just want to put in a little bit more interaction. I just haven't had time to think about what I want to take out for days or commandeer.
You're playing Snapback?
You know what? I think I mentioned Snapback being in my deck. I think it was at one point, but I don't remember if it is, but I really want Snapback in there.
Snapback's a great one.
Just like making sure that I have tons of interaction. I just want to make sure that I have.
Gutshot's been awesome for
Gutshot's
you too,
right? Gutshot's been insane. I've loved
the
Gutshot.
Free spells. All they have to do is anything, and they're so good in VV.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
If it does anything at all, then it's so good in VV.
Free spell that kills Rograk and draws three cards.
What about Thunderclap? You playing Thunderclap?
I am not on Thunderclap. Does that hit players?
I think it's...
If it doesn't hit players, I might want it a little bit less. But there was a thought that I can just also target Vivi, and who cares? Because Vivi's butt's just always bigger.
Oh, you're saying like if there's not a target
or
something?
If there's not a target. Like I have had points where there's
just nothing to hit.
I'm pushing on turn three and there's nothing in play. Yeah, and I'm just like, thank God this lightning bolt can go to a dome.
Okay, interesting. Okay, yeah.
No, so yeah, so I want to get Tim the Malcolm together because I want to have like a... I play two fast decks and this is like going to be the opposite of Atali, which will be nice.
You're an only teamer right now, so you need some black and some white.
I need a little bit of black and white in my life, yeah.
All right, well, thanks for watching. If you like Sports Directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Damn Nandez, Cumulative Upkeep MTG, Mr. Jerby, The Cardboard Cookbook, Penguin Man 0089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius, Clark, Larceny, Roy, Zero by Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, S.E. Phillip, Old and Groupie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear, Garrett, Mace the Ace, Luke Cook, Connor Sipon, Joshua Day, Peter Stewart, Connor Wild, Uncle Butts, Noosh, Quadra A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thanks, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at our affiliate link for 5% off.
Follow us on the internet for more content.
Thanks for watching.
See you next time.
Sepharius, Ash Wayne, Hunter the Warlock, John Koba, The Gaming Kinkajou, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Dalton Poti, Justin Man, Solo, Jan Wild, Fang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
No ads.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.